Today we're going to discuss the Alabama Supreme Court ruling of February 16, 2024, that the Wrongful Death of Minor Act applies to all unborn children regardless of their location. And this was when three sets of parent-created embryos through IVF, an Alabama clinic was responsible for preserving the embryos in a facility while the parents and the embryos awaited implantation. And one day in 2020, a patient from the hospital wandered into the storage area, unwittingly picked up the embryo container, suffered severe freezer burn because the embryos are stored in sub-freezing temperatures, and he dropped the container. The embryonic children were destroyed when the container shattered on the ground. The parents sued the fertility clinic and the hospital for wrongful death of their children and for the negligent actions of the clinic. The trial court claimed that the embryo is not a minor child, but its property. So lost cannot give rise to a wrongful death claim. They said the embryos were property. However, again, on February 16, 2024, the Alabama Supreme Court issued a ruling, and they held that unborn children are children for purposes of Alabama's Wrongful Death of a Minor Act. And the ruling states the central question presented in these consolidated appeals, which involve the death of embryos kept in a cryogenic nursery, is whether the act contains an unwritten exception to that rule for extrauterine children, that is, unborn children who are located outside of a biological uterus at the time they are killed. Under existing black letter law, the answer to that question is no. The Wrongful Death of a Minor Act applies to all unborn children, regardless of their location. Surds, this ruling brought a lot of concerns, because the question is, what do you do now with frozen embryos that are not used immediately for implantation? Fertility clinics in Alabama are nervous now because frozen embryos are thawed and prepared for transfer. And when this happens, there's a small possibility that they may be damaged or destroyed and therefore unable to be successfully transferred. Will they then be sued for wrongful death of a minor? IVF patients frequently wind up with more embryos than are actually implanted and often choose to freeze them for possible future pregnancies. Would discarding those embryos be considered murder in Alabama and possibly other states in the future? Must they be preserved in perpetuity? Again, just to be clear, this was a civil case where one party is suing another party for damages. The Alabama Supreme Court, specifically in its ruling, did not offer an opinion on whether someone could be charged criminally for destroying embryos that are extrauterine, that are outside of a biological uterus at the time that they are destroyed. But still, the question is open. Can someone be charged criminally for destroying embryos? Another concern is that about half of all IVF cycles that take place involve pre-implantation genetic testing of the embryos. Many couples do so because one member is a carrier of a known genetic mutation associated with a serious disease or condition. And the question is, if a genetic mutation is discovered in an embryo, may we discard the embryo? So what is the halachic status of an embryo? Now, is a machlokes rishonim. There's a debate amongst the rishonim as to whether we can violate Shabbos for a fetus in utero. Let's say, for example, a woman is pregnant and there's a danger to the baby and not to the mother. If there's a danger to the mother on Shabbos, obviously you can set aside Shabbos prohibitions to save the life of the mother. What if there's a danger just to the baby and not to the mother? So there are some Rishonim who say that the life of a mother is always in danger. If the life of the fetus is in danger, so by definition, the life of the mother is in danger. So therefore, you can set aside Shabbos in order to save the life of the fetus in utero. Or maybe you can say that, no, not necessarily true. Maybe the life of a mother is not in danger, but we will save the life of a fetus, even, let's say, less than 40 days old, right? Even if it says that Gemara has a famous line that for the first 40 days after conception, the fetus is what's called maya ba'alma. It is halakhically insignificant to some extent. But nevertheless, if the embryo is in danger, you can, or the fetus is in danger, you can save the fetus Because why? Because we save, we can be machala one Shabbos in order to save, so that the baby, the fetus, when he's born, can observe many Shabbosos. So you can be machala one Shabbos to observe many Shabbosos. Most Rishonim hold, the standard view is that you can set aside Shabbos not just to save the mother, but also to save the fetus. What about saving an embryo, a frozen embryo? So the Shevet Halevi, has a famous tshuva in Chelak Hei Simon Mem Zayin, and he wants to know whether you can violate Shabbos for a tinok hamivchana, a baby that is in a test tube, or in a frozen embryo, a fertilized egg, an embryo that is being frozen now. And can you be Mechalel Shabbos for this? And he writes that even the Bahag famously writes that you're Mechalel Shabbos on Ubarim, that you can be Mechalel Shabbos, you can set aside the Shabbos prohibitions to save a fetus inside the mother. Why? Mitam Shiishma Shabbosos Harbe. Because the fetus will eventually be born into a baby and it can observe many Shabbosos. He says, is even Lifnei Mem Yom. So this is the Bahag who holds that even less than 40 days old, you can save a fetus if it's a concern inside the mother. And that's how the Ramban and the Ran understand according to the Bahag. And so the question is, does this apply also to a frozen embryo that's in a lab? And he writes, L'dati barur, to me it's clear that Gam le'Bahag, also l'chal Shabbos b'zeh. Even according to the Bahag, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a frozen embryo that's in a lab. Because, he says, the Bahag only allowed for an ubar toch me'e ha'im, only a fetus that's inside the mother. He said that even though you don't have the reason of a chai bahem, because the Bahag presumably holds that the fetus is less than 40 days old, it's not a nefesh, so you don't have, why can you set aside Shabbos in order to save a life of a person? Because the Torah says, V'chai b'hem v'lo she'imus b'hem, the Gemara understands. The Torah says, you should live by my Torah mitzvos and not die by them. So you're allowed to set aside, other than a few certain exceptions, you're allowed to set aside, let's say, Shabbos prohibitions in order to save a life. That would only apply to a life, but an Uber less than 40 days old, according to the Bahag, is not considered a life. Nevertheless, he says that even though you don't have a chai b'hem, but you still have, you can machal this Shabbos for future Shabbosos. But he says that's only true with a fetus that's in utero, because then he writes, Sherov havlados b'nei kayamahem v'rak miut mapilos. Most women who are pregnant with children, the children will be born. So even if we don't consider the baby less than 40 days old, the fetus less than 40 days old in utero as considered a nefesh, as a living being, nevertheless, since it's more likely than not that a baby will be born, so we can apply the principle of b'machalo one Shabbos, so this fetus will become a baby and it will, he or she will observe many Shabbosos. That does not apply to a zera shebatoch hamivchana, to a frozen embryo in a lab. Who says the frozen embryo is going to be implanted? It might be discarded. Right? Very often, try to fertilize many eggs and test them for, let's say, couples doing IVF. We may fertilize many eggs and just implant and leave some of them, because maybe take the best ones, as it were, to implant into the woman. And many frozen embryos just remain in the freezer and are not used, and some of them are discarded. So according to that, Shevet Halevi says, it's not necessarily so likely that a frozen embryo will be used. So you can't apply the principle of that you can mechal Shabbos so that this frozen embryo will observe many Shabbosos, because most of these embryos, by majority, do not end up getting implanted and turn into a real live baby. Now, the question then, of course, is, so what do you do if the frozen embryo is about to be, let's say, for example, the frozen embryo is being, the fertilized embryo is in a container, and let's say it's hooked up to electrical, to the electricity is on, so that it's at sub-freezing temperatures, and then there's a power outage. And if you don't, and on Shabbos, if you don't plug it back in, so all the embryos will be destroyed. What can you do? So it seems the poskim do not allow you to be mechalel Shabbos midoraisa. In the Sefer that Machon Pua put out, he writes, based on Rav Neuwirth, that you can't even set aside an Isser Durabanan to save an ubar, to save a fertilized embryo outside the mother. But you would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to even set aside an Isser Duraisa, Torah prohibition, to save this frozen embryo outside the biological uterus, outside the woman, because this is probably considered like a hefset gadol, really serious, significant loss. So you would not be allowed to do anything yourself to save the embryos, but amira lenach, we're telling a non-Jew to do something, maybe plug the machine in, so that would be permitted. But what do we see from here? What's very clear is that Rav Vosner does not believe that an embryo is a person. If the embryo was a person, then you would obviously be allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to save the person. So he's holding that it is not a person. And the truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, states, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Af Al Ha'ubarim, that Rabbi Shmuel says that Bnei Noach were commanded, even that there's a prohibition of feticide. You can't kill a fetus. My time in Rabbi Shmuel's asked the Gemara, Dichsiv Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam Damo Yishafech. It's a nice palindrome that someone who spills the blood of an Adam Ba'adam, his blood will be spilled. Ezel Adam Shuba Adam. What Adam is in an Adam? Heve Omer Ezel Ubar Shibi Me'imo. This is an Ubar inside the mother's womb. That's the prohibition. Prohibition of feticide is when the fetus is inside the mother. That would indicate if it's not outside the mother, then it's not considered a living being, or it may not be considered prohibited as feticide. The Shevet HaLevi also has a tshuva in Chelek Yud Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, where he's talking about what to do with excess frozen embryos. Like, again, let's say you fertilized a bunch of eggs from a couple, and you used a few, you implanted them in a woman. And what do you do with all the ones that are remaining? And he says that he basically says that there might be a concern about maybe keeping the embryos around. The one who asked him the shaila, this is in Chelek Yod Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, that there might be a concern about keeping these frozen embryos around in perpetuity. Because let's say the woman will use it after she gets divorced from her husband. And we know that, for example, that there's a takana that Chazal made, that let's say a man and woman get divorced, the woman is not permitted to get married within the next 3 months. Because let's say she gets divorced, and the next week she gets married to someone else, and then she gets pregnant. You don't know who the father is. Again, now with DNA testing, you might be able to figure out. But at least in days of old, that takana still existed. If we still have that takana, that you have to wait 3 months. So there's a possibility that what might happen, that even if there are 3 months, maybe she will, let's say the couple freezes embryos, and then the couple gets divorced. So maybe you should destroy the fertilized eggs, because maybe she will implant them in herself when she's married to the second man, and it won't be clear who the father is. So, or maybe we're not concerned about that. Maybe we're not concerned about that. And he thinks that what the Sheva Levi concludes is that essentially, if the husband, he says that that if, for example, the wife has become pregnant from the IVF, and there's no more need for the fertilized eggs, and then, or maybe wait till after she gives birth, then he thinks that you can destroy the extra fertilized eggs once there's no need. And he also thinks that you should destroy the fertilized eggs after the husband dies or after a divorce because of this issue. And he also points out that there's no issue of hashchasa zera, of destroying zera of the man, when you're, let's say again, you fertilize a whole bunch of eggs, knowing that you're only going to probably try to implant the best one or the best ones, and then the rest of them you're going to discard. That's not considered hashchasa zera. You're destroying seed. Because the goal of when you're fertilizing all these eggs and when the man is releasing his zera sperm and the wife is releasing her egg in the lab, the goal is to have children. So even though you know that some of the fertilized eggs might be destroyed, that's not considered hashchasa zera because you're doing all this in order to have children. That's the position of the Shevet Halevi. Again, he's of the opinion that, again, it's only property. Because there's a human being, then you wouldn't be allowed, if you believe that the fertilized eggs that's being frozen, and these embryos that are extra uterine, that are not inside the biological uterus of a woman, if you hold it's a person, then you can never destroy it. So he obviously rejects the Alabama Supreme Court justice. I found there was a fascinating case where we do find one poseg that may have a similar position to the Alabama Supreme Court. And here's the case. It's a case that revolves around ownership of the embryos. And the question is the following. What if a couple freezes an embryo, right? A couple fertilizes some eggs, they do some IVF, and frozen eggs remain in the lab. And then the couple decide to get divorced. And the woman then, the wife, wants to implant the embryo into her, and the husband does not want. There was a case in 2002 where this exactly happened. They had fertilized eggs that were frozen. The Beit Din at that point had not recommended divorce as of yet. And the question was, can the wife then take this fertilized egg, this embryo, and implant it inside of her or not? And this is written up in Tchumen. The wife's attorney argued that, like a partnership, you must complete the project once it was started. Right? The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Kuf Ayin Vav Seif Tezvav, writes that Shutvim, that agreed between themselves that they will have a partnership for a fixed time, then you're not allowed to dissolve the partnership until the time arrives. So here, the couple agreed to fertilize the eggs for the purpose of implantation. So you can't abandon the project until it's finished. That's what the wife's attorney argues. Now, Rav Avram Sherman, one of the judges, disagreed. And he held with that argument. He held that a partnership, the goal of the partnership was to create a family. And once it was decided the couple should get divorced, or what the couple wanted to get divorced, then the agreement changed. In other words, the agreement was, even though it wasn't explicit, the agreement was we're going to fertilize the egg so that we can have a child as a family. Once they decide they want to get divorced, even though Basin has not recommended it, that's not the nature of their partnership. In fact, Rav Shol Yisraeli in Chavos Binyamin Simon Kuf Ches Saif Yud Dalet, in a similar case, the couple had a frozen embryo, frozen embryo. The mother wanted to implant this embryo into a surrogate after the couple wanted a divorce. And Rav Shol Yisraeli writes that from a mibchinat halacha, from the perspective of halacha, ein lakuvas abal shu ashutav hasheni. You cannot force the husband, who's the second partner. The wife is the first partner of these. The wife and the husband jointly own the embryo. You can't force the husband. Like that, he also has ownership, partial ownership in this embryo. You can't force him to agree to what the wife wants. And he says that, interestingly enough, he says, min haroi, it seems appropriate, shachomer yushma, you should destroy this material because now the couple's getting divorced. and the husband doesn't want it. But he said if the woman is against this, then it has to remain frozen. But so this is Rav Sherman ruled similarly to Rav Shaul Yisrael. Rav Shaul Yisrael also explains that since there was even though they entered into a partnership, however, since chal shinu muchlat mimasha haya bisman kabbalas hayischayvus hadadit, since there was a clear change from that which existed when they had they entered into this agreement, yesh lirot zeh ka'ones, that this is viewed as an ones, an unavoidable circumstance. And that case, that even though the couple said we're going to remain in partnership and no one can back out, that's unless there's an unforeseen circumstance, and that's what this is. Rav Avram Sherman also argued that even though a lower court ruled that it's a chesed for the husband to agree to what his wife wants, he said it's not a chesed to create a child into a situation of conflict between parents. And Rav Avram Sherman cited Rav Yashiv, Rav Waldenberg, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that IVF is only to help a couple create a family, not merely for a woman to have a child. So here, if the wife will soon get divorced, so it's not appropriate to implant this fertilized egg, this embryo, into the woman. So this is his standard approach of most poskim that view that this embryo is not a human being or not a person. It's just property, and it's owned partially by the husband and partially by the wife. And the husband doesn't have to agree to what his wife wants in this regard. However, Rav Shlomo Dechovsky argued with Rav Avram Sherman, a second judge, or there were three judges. So the second judge, Shlomo Dechovsky, again, his argument is written up in Tchumen. He says that the fertilized egg has a life of its own, probably similar to the Alabama Supreme Court, said that the fertilized egg has a life of its own, so you cannot destroy it. And since the couple is still married, the husband's obligations to the wife remain in effect, and she has a right based on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Kuf Nun Dalet Seivav. She has a right to demand children as long as they're married. Even though that the couple wants to get divorced, right now the Beis Din has not recommended divorce as of yet, and therefore you can't destroy the fertilized egg because it's a living being, some sort of person, has a life of its own. Not property. And more than that, she says, and she has the right to demand children, step two. So therefore, she has the right to demand that implantation of that embryo. In an article in Gray Matter, Rabbi Jachter writes Rav Dechovsky's opinion that the embryo has life of its own. Again, that seems to be consistent with the Alabama Supreme Court. That appears to lie beyond mainstream opinion of halakhic authorities in this matter. He appears to be a lone authority who actually requires couples to undergo IVF in order to have children. In addition, again, most halakha authorities permit the disposal of unwanted embryos, including Mordechai Eliyahu, Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, Chaim David Halevi, Moshe Sternbach, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shmuel Vozer, and Rav Shaul Yisrael, as we said. The third judge, and most poskim side with Rav Sherman, so that there was no recommendation of the IVF process in this circumstance, and he said he was opposed to having IVF in this circumstance. The couple is going to get divorced, and again, similarly, he says there's no shutfus here, there's no partnership here because they're planning on getting divorced. But what do we see from here? We see that most poskim hold that an embryo that's extra uterine, that's outside the woman, is only considered property. It's not considered, doesn't have a life of its own. We saw a lone authority of Shlomo Dechovsky who takes that position, but that is not the mainstream opinion. And therefore, halacha seems to go against the Alabama Supreme Court. And obviously, this ruling could have negative effects on the possibility of IVF because fertility clinics are probably going to be nervous about providing IVF services if they feel they could be sued for wrongful death statutes for the destruction of these embryos. But again, this seems to be inconsistent with halachic opinion, and halachic opinion would allow disposal of unwanted frozen embryos, or if it's unneeded, for a variety of reasons.